Connecting now. Okay.
I will call the February 9th, 2021 regular meeting of the Mill Creek City Council to order, and we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Briles, would you please lead us?
Test, test. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, Naomi.
Mayor Holzklaw.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem Vanell.
Here.
Councilmember Bond.
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Here.
Councilmember Steckler.
Here.
Councilmember Briles.
Here.
Councilmember Morgan.
Here.
Thank you, Naomi. We'll begin with audience communication. Would anyone like to speak to the council tonight? Ideally, you'd raise your little yellow hand if you're on the Zoom video. Not seeing anyone going once, twice. We'll have another opportunity for audience communication at the end of the meeting. Move into presentations. City manager, the waste management presentation.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. We have Marcy Manabusan, Public Sector Manager from Waste Management. Director Todd may have a very brief intro, but they've been waiting patiently for us to make a presentation to council. So we are looking forward to tonight's brief presentation. Director Todd?
Thank you. Just real briefly, Marcy's going to give the report. This is part of the function of our contract with Waste Management. Remember, we've had a contract since 2015. It extends to 2022. And so it's part of the requirement is they give us an annual report, gives us a chance to kind of check in. And Marcy's here to give that for us tonight. So I'll turn it over, turn the screen over to Marcy. She's gonna pull up her slides and we'll talk about that. Then we'll bring it back and talk about the open item that you saw in the agenda summary from back in 2019. Some more business that's open to do. So Marcy, take it away.
Thank you so much, Mike. Can you see my screen okay?
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. So good evening, Mayor, Council, staff and public. Thank you so much for having me here with you tonight. As Michael and Mike introduced, my name is Marcy and I manage the contract. It's been a little bit since I've been with you and things have definitely changed. So as part of our contract, like Mike said, we provide an annual report to the city. The full report is included in tonight's packet. So if you have any questions about that or my presentation, I'm happy to answer those. I have a few slides that'll give you a little bit of an overview of that and our services in 2020. So let's get started. I think COVID obviously is the big thing of 2020, the big headline, but for us, we're really proud of the fact that we were able to provide virtually uninterrupted collection services for the community and throughout the Puget Sound. So in a year where nothing was normal, one thing that our Mill Creek residents and businesses could count on was our trucks showing up every week as we have done for decades. So our men and women running out of the Woodinville office here took great pride in being able to perform these essential services and give folks of the community a small peace of mind. The second thing that was a focus for us, as you can see, was serving our customers. So as you can imagine, with more people staying home, some small and medium businesses reducing or closing down, our team was available to help customers navigate those changes. So decreasing service, stopping service, increasing service at home, because you know you have more to get rid of at home being there all the time. We also didn't cancel any services for folks that couldn't make payments or charge any late fees. So in those ways, you know, we really were there to support our customers. And then the last thing that you see on here, but certainly not least in our list of priorities, was protecting our employees and our WM family. Starting at the top, so our CEO, Jim Fish, made commitments not to lay off any employees. So for a team of 45,000, that was a pretty big commitment to make right across North America. And also guaranteed 40 hours of pay all right from the start of COVID. So that allowed us to focus on the important services that we provide to our communities and customers. And as I said, out of 45,000 folks, we transitioned about 20,000 of those to working remotely from home. So not a small feat there. And one of the fun or, you know, really nice things that came out of 2020, and I hope you get a chance to glance over some of these comments from our Mill Creek customers, was just the overwhelming appreciation and support that our team received, you know, and very well deserved for our hardworking men and women on the road, right? And these pictures here are from the Puget Sound. So customers throughout Kirkland and King County and Snohomish County. So it was really great to see that, you know, for a job that you don't really notice until we're not there, it was great to see this kind of appreciation. Of course, I had to throw in this comment that I saw about the three-year-old. Sounds like we've got a future waste management employee in Mill Creek. So we are excited for him to join our team in a few years. So I just love seeing that. And then, you know, we pick up garbage, we pick up recycle, and we pick up compost in the city. So definitely something that we report on as part of our contract. And what I wanted to point out about the numbers is, you know, we've got about 60%, pretty close to it, of material that we're diverting from the landfill out of Mill Creek. So, you know, that's really great work. That's remained pretty steady over the last few years. So either through recycling or composting, we're keeping that material out of the landfill, which is great. So one thing that I would point out is, as you might expect, if you look here and in the actual report, you'll see about 3,362 tons of garbage that we collected. That's up 7% from 2019. So that's quite a significant increase. Again, might expect that, right, with everybody working from home. And similar decrease on the commercial side where we know a lot of our businesses were impacted, right? And recycling, we can't not talk about recycling. One thing that came out of 2022 is the recognition that recycling is an essential service along with garbage. So it provides valuable feedstock for supply chains and packaging. I know we were talking about Amazon before the meeting started here. So all those boxes got to come from somewhere. And a lot of the recycling that we collect curbside provides that feedstock. Also, where did all the toilet paper go, right? So that's an important material that comes out of our recycling as well. So very important that we keep recycling and that we focus on recycling the right things. PPE has kind of been a new waste stream. I mean, it's been there, but not as widespread as it is now. So masks and gloves, those things are not recyclable. So we've been trying to get those messages out. And just as a reminder from the presentation I made to you in 2019, no plastic bags in the recycle. I know we talked about that before. And then with plastics, right? Keep it basic, bottles, tubs, jugs, that kind of thing. So that's my plug on recycling.
Hey, Marcy, before you move on, Councilmember Cavalieri here, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for coming out. So I'm glad you touched on recycling because I went through the paper a little bit and I did have a couple of questions. And so first thing, I remember the last presentation that we had, you were having some difficulties with other governments in the Pacific, China and whatnot that changed their practices on purchasing recyclables. And it was affecting the bottom line and the business plan. So has that been fixed, shifted, changed? Anything new on the horizon with that?
It has not been fixed. That is still a challenge that we're faced with, right? And I don't have, numbers like the calculations I brought to you last time. But the commodity values are still well below what they were before those bans were implemented by China, as I mentioned in that previous presentation. And the cost to process the material is still higher than it was. So those challenges are still there. Obviously, we're still recycling and it's still a priority. We're still investing in technology and infrastructure to keep it going. But yeah, that is still a problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the question. And just continuing on with recycling, and you know, I really love to highlight our education and outreach team, because here in the Pacific Northwest, we get those messages out better than anyone else. Our recycle team here, education and outreach, was won an award for Recycler of the Year for innovation in 2020 from the Washington State Recycling Association, or WSRA, if you're familiar with that. Part of the work that our team did in 2020 is highlighted in this slide. So we created an outreach program for businesses and residents that we called WME Connect, where we provided free consultations for commercial businesses, multifamily properties that were all done virtually. We shared videos and other activities to help engage our customers to learn about recycling in ways that best suit them. We all know we have different schedules and different ways that that we're able to interact. So we put out videos, scavenger hunt, a presentation, things like that. So the team here does a really great job of innovating and adapting, especially in 2020. Hopefully at some point we'll get back to doing the tours. You can see on the screen here is our education manager, Hannah, giving a tour of our Cascade Recycle Center in Woodinville. And hopefully we'll be able to get back to that at some point, but we are adaptable and able to shift, and we did so pretty successfully in 2020. And that's really it for me. So in closing, I just, you know, really like to thank the City of Mill Creek for your partnership through a difficult year. And yeah, we're looking forward to the future. So thank you again.
Thanks, Marcy. I can't see the whole screen, so if there's any questions from council, Councilmember Steckler.
Hey, Marcy, echoing what Councilman Cavallari said, welcome back. We were kind of, it was a little tough meeting before when you came back the other time, and you handled yourself very well, I must add. And I do want to echo a couple thoughts here. One, I do want to echo your drivers. I talk a lot, social media and stuff, with constituents and citizens. And you know what? There are a lot of really good comments about your drivers. They are very friendly. I think you must take good care of them, because they sure are happy at doing what they do. And so that's a compliment to waste management. Good job for you guys. I think you definitely have done, you're doing something right there. You know, when we met before, one of the things we talked about was trying to really educate our citizens on a better job of recycling. You know, the right things and the wrong things. One of the things we talked about was putting new labels on the recycle bins, that, you know, something that said something like, wait, you know, this is recyclable and this is no longer recyclable. And I don't think we did that. Did we?
We do have labels for all of our containers, all of our carts that say, you know, this is for garbage, this is for recycle, this is for yard waste. And the recycle has a sticker that, you know, shows what can and cannot be recycled. So that goes on all of our new containers that go out.
Your new ones.
We didn't do any kind of massive push out to, you know, for existing ones out there. We have not done anything to that degree, no. But all of our new carts are labeled.
If I could offer a suggestion to you, if you did want to do that with the old ones, which I think would really help you in getting a cleaner mix of recycled products, if you would be willing to create the labels, we have a series of youth groups in Mill Creek, both the youth advisory group here in the city. I know the Kiwanis Key Club, and I think Rotary has a group. A lot of these young people that just want to get service hours to help them as they prepare for their college entrance exams. And because of COVID, they haven't been able to do a lot of their fundraisers because they can't get together. So they need to do things that are rather solo that they can only do by themselves that are very safe. And this is a project that if you wanted to provide the decals, I think we could help. I'd be happy to help you with connecting you with these groups to go out and affix them to the recycle bins for you, because they would be helping to improve our recyclability and educate the citizens, and would also give them all a lot of the service hours that they need. And obviously it's really easy on garbage pickup night. Everybody puts those little bins outside, so it's easy to find them. And these kids could, you know, work that out with your schedule. But that's just a suggestion. I know that I really want to see those on my old bin and in my neighbor's old bins. And, you know, a lot of us have just been stuck here in our homes for a long time. So we got some pretty old recycle bins, but the things have changed. And I know we're throwing things in there that shouldn't go in there. And it would really help reduce your costs if we were not recycling things we shouldn't be recycling. I find it weird. My recycle bin fills every week. My garbage bin is half full. So either I'm doing everything right or I'm doing some things wrong. And I may be doing some things wrong. So I think an education would be a great suggestion. I personally would be willing to work with you on that if you needed some help on that, okay?
Thank you so much for the suggestion. I think that's a great idea and something that I definitely want to take back to the team.
Okay.
Councilmember Cavalieri.
Thank you, Mayor. Hey, Marcy, just one more quick question for clarification a little bit. I noticed on one of the charts that you used, it notates multifamily without recycling and or organics, and it shows mainly all of the apartments that don't participate. Is that the case, or can you maybe explain it to us?
Yeah, so the requirement in our contract is to provide a list of multifamily properties that do not participate in recycling and or organics. And so that's the list that's in the appendix document of the report.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from council? Hearing none, thank you, Marcy, again for coming out this evening. Appreciate it. Appreciate the update.
Thank you.
I'll jump in now and take the second half of this if I can make my screen work and see if I can do this. Are you seeing the Operation China Blue Sky?
Yep.
On the screen?
Yes.
So this is, Marcy did a great job. This is going back and taking some of the brunt of what we as a city didn't complete before. So I borrowed some of the slides from before. This is what they brought to us back in September 2019. And talked about how China's Operation Blue Sky was really making a difference in recycling. And council members have already revealed and talked about that tonight. We'll move on to the next slide, if I can get the move. There we go. So remember, they came to us with three asks. They said, would you consider an extraordinary recycling rate increase? Many of the cities that are in their contact cities had accepted that increase. We talked about it quite a bit and fundamentally said the contract is a contract. We were not willing to talk about that rate increase. We also talked about two of their other requests were a contamination charge when they have people who are not recycling, and also making changes to that recycling list. So we didn't execute on those. I'll get this to move forward. There we go. This contamination charge really was a lot about education. You already touched on that, about that some, but it comes down to we didn't go through the process of deciding to align our recycling list with what else was going on in the area. And that is what fell by the wayside with the city staff and overall the city. So the outstanding issues there were, we rejected that extraordinary recycling increase and said, let's wait till we renegotiate our contract. But we agreed in principle to help the core issue of contaminated recycle brought up with some town terms tonight. Staff did work with waste management to place an article early in 2020 in our city newsletter, and then COVID hit. That didn't help anything. That recycle list basically sat here and never got done. Marcy's been very patient with us, but through our staffing changes, that never happened. And I think that's partly what stood in our way of doing some of the things we talked about earlier in terms of stickers. Until our list aligns with the common list, making those stickers didn't make a lot of sense. And so that is where we are. We as a council said, back when I was in council, said, let's work on education. Let's work on getting that recycle list better so that we're helping the problem before. And so that further education outreach didn't happen. Marcy had come to us before Christmas when I was new on the job and said, hey, we've got these outstanding issues. Things got busy. Opened up the contract and looked at it. And we are, our contract goes from July 1, 2015 until June 30th, 2020. Turns out that feels like it's way in the future, but it is in the contract that 15 months before the contract expires, either party needs to notify the other one if they intend to extend the contract. Under the contract, we have a chance to extend it for 2 years. And my recommendation is going to be, not tonight, but my recommendation is going to be that we look at a 2-year contract extension. I don't think we have the capacity, nor do we have the desire right now to go and find, go up for an RFP and find a new vendor or stay with this one. As Marcy just reported, they've done a phenomenal job through COVID. I think we're all happy with what's going on, but we do need to look at that extension. And that, because it's 15 months, they're 15 months back away from June 30th, we need to get this done by the end of next month. And so the proposal is that Marcy and staff will come back to wrap those outstanding contract items into a possible extension, bring that to you in November, excuse me, March, to talk about that at one of the meetings in March so we can get that wrapped up by the end. That would not be executing the contract. That would be an indication by council that they want staff and waste management to enter into negotiations to start negotiating that extension. And again, that is a 15-month time frame for both of us to work on that were we not to go forward. So that's the rest of the story for here. And I'll open it up to you for questions from Mr. Mayor and the council.
Questions, anyone? That was pretty self-explanatory. John, no? Vince?
Yeah,
no?
I have a comment. I don't know about a question, but before we come back to March here, I assume we're going to be as tasked with the question of contract extension at that time. Are we going to have to address fees and that type of thing in March, or are we just going to open it up for extension? Because I think we should probably have discussions prior to that so we're prepared. And it sounds like one of the places where we really fell down was on education about containment, contamination, pardon me. We didn't really do that. We talked a lot about that at our council meeting, that the first step was before we start raising fees, let's talk about educating people so that we're not, the waste management's not incurring these additional costs. Let's educate people on what proper recycling is. So I guess me personally, I would support more education and probably, you know, contamination charges before I would be looking at fee increases for everyone, because people really are, some people are very interested in doing the right thing and recycling the right products and doing the right thing. And I hate to see them get penalized with a higher rate, but that's just my own personal opinion.
Marcy, where you've imposed the contamination fee, have you found it effective? And do you have any statistics on how it's helped?
I don't have any statistics, although, you know, I can, you know, in preparation for March or whenever we come together again, I can probably get some data. But yeah, certainly in Arlington, I just implemented it last year in the city of Arlington. And without looking back through everything. Yeah, we started out having the 2 warnings and then on the 3rd instance was a charge. And so we've seen that decline throughout the year, the number of charges happening, but I can get specific data for our next meeting if that's helpful.
I think it would be. What kind of charge are we talking about?
Well, with Arlington, it is a $25 charge on the 3rd contamination instance.
Does it escalate from there? Or does it stay at 25 if they keep being repeat offenders?
It's a flat, same fee each time. Okay. After your first 2 free ones.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Mayor. I did want to use my raise hand bar, but it wasn't working just now, so don't think I violated the code. I just wanted to point out some of these conversations we're having are preliminary, as everybody's aware, but this is a push for a contract extension, not a renegotiation, as I would understand. I want to make sure that we're not talking about changing existing contracts if we're simply looking to extend an existing one. There are opener clauses that apply. And so let's just be careful about having this dialogue public like this at this point if we're going to venture off in negotiations. Thanks.
Any other comments, questions? Well, we'll look forward to hearing more about this in a month or so. Thank you. With that, I think we're on to our study session and the big event of the night. Turn it over to Michael and Karen.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. We've received the replies from City Council. Karen has put together a presentation for this evening that I think brings us to at least the next step in a long journey. I will note that this past Saturday, Director Mike Todd led a tour of the site. We noted a number of features that Karen will be speaking about this evening. And for those of you who have still not obtained a tour or would like the tour, particularly members of council, we will make whatever accommodations required in order for you to have a look. It would ideally be best if we could have a group, but we'll work so that you can do your diligence and have all the opportunity to learn more about the data. So with that said, I'm gonna turn the table over to Director Mike Todd and Karen Reed. And I believe Director Todd will be running the slideshow tonight. And Karen's gonna be running the meeting, and Director Todd may have some items that he adds as we go along. But that said, Karen, greatly appreciate your time and effort on behalf of the city. If you could get us started, I'd appreciate it.
Sure, thank you. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you. I'm Karen Reed. I'm a local government consultant and facilitator. And this will be our second discussion that I have had with you about the future of the Dobson-Remillard Church Cook properties. But there are obviously some discussions that you have been having for a number of years now. And if we could go to the next slide, we're seeing a couple slides now right on screen now.
Let's see if I can make that.
It's okay. So tonight we're going to recap what we talked about 2 weeks ago in terms of initial process steps. And we're going to then take a look at what you said in terms of your ideas for guiding principles that would be sort of the starting point of finding common ground for with the council for how you might like to move forward. And we'll talk about that, decide if there is consensus, maybe consider some additional questions and comments that you may have, and then we'll close just with confirming next steps. So this slide that's up right now shows you the process steps that we outlined at the January 26 meeting. We're at the very beginning of a long process, as Michael said. We are tonight talking about where there may be council consensus on some guiding principles for the development of this property. From here, we would move to some just sort of very preliminary brainstorming of ideas that fall within that consensus and fleshing this out with additional background and council questions. And then we would move to stages 3 and 4 that we talked about are a needs assessment and a site capacity analysis. So we get more information about what is needed in the community and what can be accommodated on the site. And then we would refine our options. And of course, the most important thing here in a lot of ways is that at each stage along this, we want to create opportunities for public input on where we're going. We are at the very beginning and there are no decisions made yet. And tonight we'll just sort of hopefully find where is this, where is there some common ground we can work from and go move forward. So next slide, please. Just a couple quick reminders. This is a slide that shows you the acreage of the four properties when they were acquired and what the current zoning is, which is quite variable. We have about 13.9 acres in contiguous property, and then across the street, the Cook parcel is an additional 5 acres. This is the gross area, not the developable area. Next slide, please. This is a map of the vicinity map of the 5 parcels. I think we looked at this last time. You can see some of the surrounding uses with the green belt on the right-hand side. I'm sorry, the left-hand side of the screen. And then you can see some of the adjacent residential uses, the WashDOT project, and the undeveloped parcel that is going to potentially be an aquatic center, a conservation zoned parcel, and recently developed Mill Creek Sports, Arena Sports across the street. Looks probably pretty familiar, the large freeway coming down through the middle of the scene. Next slide, please. And this is a map you've also seen before. We shared with you last time, that shows some of the critical areas on the parcels. We've got three verified wetlands on the parcels. And I was able to take the tour that Michael referenced earlier. I went up, and my sincere thanks to Mike Todd and Matt Combs for walking me and Lauren around the parcel. I really would echo Michael's suggestion that y'all walk it as well if you haven't. I think what I really was somewhat surprised by, just having seen the aerials, is that I would say the average elevation of the Remillard Dobson Church parcels is probably 20 to 30 feet higher than the elevation of the playfield. And those wetlands are very much wetlands. There are a number of really damp areas, and the topography is quite variable in terms of from dry areas down to wetlands and back up again. The Cook parcel slopes away steadily from the road down to the greenbelt. I would acknowledge about that. A lot of you may have walked the parcel already, but it was very informative to me, and it's an interesting set of parcels with those wetlands for sure. I'll just stop here in case anybody wants to add anything or ask questions at this point. And I'm not sure I can see everybody on my screen, so you might just need to pipe up. But go ahead, John, you're on mute, but go ahead. I do see you. Councilmember Steckler.
Yeah, sorry about that. I couldn't get to the mute button. On the Cook property, the delineated wetlands that are associated there, does that mean that part is undevelopable?
I think that's probably TBD, but obviously it would be something to be reckoned with.
John, I think Tom indicated last time that we would have to approve a reasonable use exception for our use of that site.
Okay. What are the setbacks around those wetlands? Are those reflected by the yellow lines? Is that the setbacks?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's
I believe so.
Yes, so 100 foot on these wetlands and 300 foot on the green buffer. So that's what the mayor just said. There's very little of this is actually developable, but you get a reasonable use exception. You make an acre of this.
Mike or Tom, what is the classification or category of the wetlands on Remillard and Church?
Class 3, was that with the email that you sent this morning, Mike?
Yeah. So these are class 3. You can't fill them in. You might be able to, you could squish these buffers around some, but you cannot fill those in. They are class 3 in both cases here. The wet spot, we see a puddle there. Sometimes that is just a puddle. That is not a delineated wetland. If you're driving up North Beach Drive and see that puddle, that has not been delineated as of 2019.
Okay. And there is nothing we can do with the wetlands. You can't fill them in or do anything. They're protected. Is that correct?
How would you take that?
Sure. I would never say never. The one on the Cook property is the least likely. It's a category 1. So you really can't fill that one. The other one's category 3. Would be very expensive, and our code and the state law and the federal law requires that you try to minimize impacts. And when you have 20 acres or 15 acres surrounding a fairly small wetland, it's really hard to make the argument that there's no way that you can develop around it. And if you did, the ratios of replacement and trying to find the land to put the mitigation, it would be very expensive. You can play with the buffers a lot. But once you get into the wetland itself and put a shovel in there, that's when you run into a potential core permit and other things.
Okay, thanks.
Anyone else, or shall we move on? Okay, Mike, if you could roll forward a slide, please. So tonight, we're going to talk about the first of the three questions in the homework that you all so kindly filled in. and it's the one where most of your energy was focused. There were no questions identified as part three, and there were about half of you did some brainstorming of uses, but everybody gave us some great input on potential guiding principles. And on the left side of the screen here, you'll see we're really calling that sort of guiding principles, goals and objectives for direction, scope, range of the project that you would be interested in seeing, criteria, attributes of a successful project. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're keeping things at a really high policy level. We're not going into the brainstorming for specific development types, but that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Next slide, please. The approach that I am taking in this PowerPoint is sort of as follows here. First, I grouped all of your ideas that you submitted into what I thought might be reasonable categories of, and I came up with 8 categories, and then one item that I couldn't fit in any category. And all of those responses are presented verbatim, pretty much in the rest of the slides here this evening. And that's the green part in the middle here. And then based on how many of you said what, I've identified what could possibly be a preliminary consensus of the council. In other words, something that it, from my reading, it looked like at least 4 of you were saying this. And so we're gonna check that tonight. Maybe I'm not reading it right. Maybe your consensus is more detailed than that. And maybe there's additional items that you identify consensus on, or like, nope, we don't have consensus on that. So that's what we really want to focus on tonight. And then in addition, I've suggested there may be some other questions that go along, just a handful of questions. There will be more over time, but just some questions that sort of come to mind as you think through these categories and the feedback. And I want to give people, after we talk about, is this consensus? Am I reading this right? Or should we tweak this language? After we talk about that in each of these topic areas, I want to see if anybody has something they want to add around any of the questions, and keep that kind of quick because we have 8 categories and I want to get through this on a timely basis here tonight. But that's sort of the game plan for tonight's discussion. If I could have the next slide, please. So here are the topics that I was able to group your responses into. There were a few people that spoke about the process, lots of interest in types of users, types of uses, outcomes for the community, outcomes for the businesses in Mill Creek, roles of partners, city financial impacts, and impact on the environment and on neighbors. So these are the categories we'll go through in turn, see what kind of ideas you had in response to each of these ideas. And this is just, I didn't tell you to respond in these categories. These are just the things that naturally came forward in looking at your responses. Any questions so far? Are we good? Okay, let's roll forward then. So here's the first group. And this one, there was just a couple of comments, and this is on process that we're gonna go through as opposed to the outcomes for the site. But I thought it was noteworthy. Process is important. And there wasn't a consensus here, but the points made were that this needs to be sort of an objective process, the idea of using, you know, criterias and ratings, and that community participation is important. So I think that those are good, certainly good approaches that I would recommend that we build in any process that we're using here, and they do, at least generally being, you know, trying to aim at an objective process and having good community participation is something that I would like to encourage us to build into the process moving forward. But there wasn't a lot of, this was not really a focus of your input at this stage. So I'm going to stop and see if anybody wants to opine around here. Like, yeah, we do need to definitely have community input and objectivity is a good idea, or if we just want to move on. But the main focus for tonight is the substance, but the process notes were important to flag. So were there, anybody have any comments or questions about this part? This is just a quick one, and we'll be moving forward in hopefully an objective way with a lot of community participation. Okay, I'm going to go to the next slide. We're going to dive into the substance of your ideas for what we might do here at a policy conceptual level. So on the types of uses, these were some of the responses. There were four of you that identified some responses here. The different colors and fonts are all different speakers. This is all without attribution, but this gives you a sense of where your peers on the council are coming from. And if you haven't, if you have all had a chance to read the presentation that came this afternoon, I will keep going, but otherwise I thought I would pause for a few seconds, 10 seconds here to let you all read this slide and see what folks said, and then we'll go forward.
I can't see everyone, but it doesn't sound like there's any questions or further comments, so keep moving.
Okie doke. That's my 15 seconds. So when I read what you said, I concluded that there seems to be an apparent consensus, if we define that as at least four council members, saying that the project should accommodate multiple types of uses on these properties. And so my first question to you is, do you agree that that is where you think you're coming from? Did I read that right? Or would you refine this or change the wording in some way? I see. And we can just, I'm not sure how you would like to, do you want to just opine if you have a voice, a thought on this one?
I have a thought on this.
Go ahead, John.
When I look back on the comments that were there, mm-hmm. as opposed to the focus of the project should accommodate multiple types of uses, I really saw more of the project should accommodate all different age groups and people of Mill Creek. That was some of the I thought I saw more of that.
That's on the next category. This was more.
Oh, I'm just looking at the comments I just saw.
Oh, yeah. I think these were more focused on, I thought that this was more focused on things like multi-purpose, year-round, opportunities for all sorts of different types of events, from small to large. So that to me said types of uses. There's a lot of input as well around types of users, and we will get to that next.
But we see okay, I saw active. The users. I saw the red one there.
Yeah. Multi-purpose, flexible. So further comments or thoughts? Are we looking at this as, did I read this right? Is it multiple types of uses on these properties? Or is that not really where y'all were going when you submitted those comments?
I would take it, at least my comments, as multi-use. I think it's important that we don't just stick to one little thing for the whole property, and that we have a broad range of uses in order to meet lots of demands and needs.
Is there anyone that disagrees strongly with that, with what Deputy Mayor Vigneault just said? Okay. So some of the, I'm going to say, think that this is probably a consensus point for multiple uses on the properties, multiple types of uses. And then some of the questions that come to mind for me, at least, that you may or may not want to think about tonight, but we're not going to resolve tonight, are, is the use, the multiple uses, it a mix of public-private? Is it primarily public? Is it primarily private? That's really not clear yet. Passive and active uses, indoor and outdoor. How integral are the answers to any of those questions to what happens here? So these will be things that we will definitely have to address at some point, but I just wanted to put them out there. And if anybody wants to hum a few bars tonight on any of these questions, without expecting resolution, but just if these are really compelling things that you want to chat about, this is a time to do that. Councilmember Steckler, your hand is up, and I'm not sure if that is
from my bad. Got to lower my hand. Sorry.
No worries at all. Anyone want to chat about this, or shall we say?
I'm not against this. Uh-huh. I feel like we need some sort of way to assess what might be the possible needs, mm-hmm. get a list of ideas of what the needs are, and then sort of begin to say, oh, well, this need would do this or this. You know, I don't necessarily want to be locked into outdoor or indoor or a combination. Okay. It depends on what we stumble into as we feel is the the priority use that fits the budget, that fits the demand of the community, that meets, you know, the checks the most boxes. And I have no idea what that is right now.
Right, exactly. So that's really helpful. And that's, of course, one of the reasons why we hope to do a needs assessment here as part of our journey to figure out what to do with the parcel. Anyone else? Vince, Councilmember Cavallari.
Thank you, Karen. Yeah, you just kind of stole my thunder a little bit there with the needs assessment. That's part a big part of it. And also, too, I guess, for this question of types of uses, we're going to have to define what types of uses we're really looking for, right? We want the outdoor. So we say multi-use indoor too. First thing people think of is building or structure. So types of uses to me, I think are important here to start defining and either start checking the box or eliminating out of the gate rather than moving forward with something we're not going to, it's just pie in the sky.
Anyone else want to chime in at this point?
Yeah, to John's point earlier, I mean, the multiple uses and multiple users are really, you know, they go side by side. I mean, to me, the way I look at it is, I look at this as we wanting to do something that is multi-purpose that could provide and benefit the greatest number of uses and users.
I'm going to make a note of that. Would you feel more comfortable, Mayor, if we change this wording or in the maybe we can revisit that in combination with the next item?
I think we could revisit it. To me, multi-purpose encompasses it more, but I think I was pleasantly surprised to see a consensus that, you know, we all think that we should be trying to accommodate the greatest number of users and uses as we can. And one of the benefits we have is now having over 14, almost 15 acres. We've got some room. It's not like we have to look at choosing one thing over another. We have some opportunity to accommodate a bunch of different things on this site.
Yes. Anyone else? Well, let's go forward to the next screen here. This is the next category, the users, types of users. As the mayor said, they're closely related. I think they're a little bit distinguishable in terms of things, although your answers, you had a strong, I think arguably strong consensus here. So on this, we had seven folks weigh in on this question of the demographics, who should be using this. And we got, as you can see here, I'll be quiet here for 7 seconds. And then Mike, if you could roll to the next screen so you guys can read all the input that I got that I put in this category. And this is the second sort of dimension of users, the question of whether those people are we also, in addition to a huge array of folks from Mill Creek, are we also looking to draw people in from outside Mill Creek? And here we had five of you weigh in support of a regional draw, something that will promote tourism to Mill Creek, will attract users from outside the city to the site. So if you'll go to the next slide, thank you. When I read that data, I said, it looks to me like there's a consensus along the lines here. The project should be designed to be used by a broad range of demographics and a large segment or all of the Mill Creek residents, and should also draw users from around the region. So first question, as before, is does this look accurate to you? Is this what you think the council has represented in the input that you just read, or would you tweak this in some way?
Karen, I recommend a little tweak here. When I looked at all those comments, I do agree that we want to, that everybody was trying to say, we want to reach a broad range of demographics of the Mill Creek residents. Mm-hmm. But when I first got on council, it was made very clear to me that a driving principle for us was this whole area of tourism. Because I'm a cop, you idiot. Because I'm a cop, you idiot. No, because there are, because tourism, building tourism for our city brings in money, brings in revenue. So it serves a different purpose. I don't think that we're trying to build something that serves the needs of people outside of our community as much as it would draw people in from outside of our community. So I think when you got into the tourism questions and thoughts like that, I think that goes to a different area that we've all been kind of trained with. Not only speaking for the council members, myself personally, tourism to me was financial. It was a great way to build financial support for our city, bring tourists in and bring revenues in and bring activity into our city. But I do think that building this project with our money is something that we really want to focus on. What does our city residents want? Mm-hmm. But we would like to do something, whatever we do, if it brings in, I think bringing in tourists is a great benefit, mm-hmm. but more of an economic benefit. So that's right. My opinion.
Right. And I think the idea of Mill Creek residents are certainly the priority, but there, I did see us in terms of who is going to use this facility, a strong interest in it being something, as you said, that would draw users from outside the city, from around the region. So in terms of who do we want to design something that will be attractive, not only to a huge swath of the Mill Creek community, but also that will draw in people from elsewhere. And that sort of would be the magic place.
And I think we can all agree that the economic benefit, whether it's inside or outside, has to be one of the biggest mitigating factors, meaning that it has to some degree generate revenue. You know, I mean, that has to be a conversation, I think, that maybe even at this stage, that while we would all like to put a Taj Mahal there or some sort of, this or that, it has to make financial sense. The city can't be married to it. It can't be wrapped around its neck and throw it overboard in an economic downturn. So that's kind of the realistic conversation. I think the comp plan addresses a lot of that as well. So anyway.
Yes. And there was a lot of energy around that whole issue. And we will come to that in a bit here on the discussion about the impact on city finances and city government organization. Definitely heard that thought here. Anyone else? Is this, Councilmember Steckler, I'm not sure if there's some, you would just prefer to separate this into two different consensus points, or you're suggesting a different wording because there's something inaccurate here.
Let me try to explain it slightly different. In this particular area, the consensus is the project should be designed based on input we get from people who want to use this thing. And if we got down to where we had residents of Mill Creek and people from outside of Mill Creek that wanted something, are they both just the same, or is one more important than the other? And in my opinion, the residents of Mill Creek and the services of our citizens is more important than people from outside. But the benefit of doing something here that draws people into our city to use this facility because of its tourist benefits is a financial benefit. It's a win for us. So I think it would go more, I read your whole thing. I think it would go more under your financial use criteria or consensus than it would under your users consensus. That was the point I was trying to make.
So you would put the draw users from around the region to the economics, the finances, city finances.
Right.
I think since it speaks users, that's why I put it here, but I'm curious to see what other folks are thinking about this, the suggestion of considering the draw from outside as a user question primarily, or a financial question primarily, or does it matter at this stage? if we all agree that we want something in the end that is going to meet the needs of Mill Creek folks primarily, and maybe we need to add the word primarily in here around Mill Creek, and then have the regional draw. I see Councilmember Bryles has his hand up, and love to hear other feedback on this.
So my question comes around seeing this and saying should draw users from around the region. How far is that region? For instance, if we're talking Mill Creek residents, that means it stops at 132nd on the north border, which isn't very far away from the site. I imagine whoever would be looking at this, if we're talking about that, I'm sure we wouldn't mind if people from that live around Silver Lake, for example, also came to whatever it is that we're talking about there. Or do we want it to be like people from Pierce County come up here for this? You know, like what are we saying is the region?
Right. I think that's a good question that we don't know the answer to. So that's it's a really good comment. Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Karen. I don't see the value in trying to separate the two. I think it actually limits opportunity and even the momentum of a conversation. The inner and the outer are intertwined. You know what I mean? That's what makes it a success story. So to try to segregate one against the other, or try to, I guess, break this down to different pieces of minutiae in the paragraph, it's not helpful, I think, to the end goal. So I would prefer keeping it as it is.
Thank you. Deputy Mayor Vignol, I always call you Deputy Mayor instead of Mayor Pro Tem, forgive me.
Thank you, Karen. I guess in a way I'm backing up what Vince is saying. When I look at this, I feel like the users from around the region is also in the types of users as well as part of the financial. It shouldn't be in just one of those places. When we are designing, we want to look at this.
All these things have to come together.
Yes, with our community in mind and who's going to use this in our community, but at the same time, something that not only will our community want to use, but other people who live in the surrounding area will also want to use. So I don't think this is an either or discussion. I think it's a both discussion in order to make it financially sound. And I also think that drawing users from the region should also be in part of the financial discussion, because if we draw people in, it'll help this facility be more financially sound, and it'll also bring in people to our community who are going to go and visit our businesses and go get lunch and maybe go to the grocery store and pick up something from Central Market while they're here. So I think that it really, they belong in both places.
Okay. Mayor Holtzclaw?
Mayor Pro Tem stole my thunder a little bit. I kind of view it as a primary versus secondary. I mean, to me, primarily this, whatever we do with this site should be focused on the needs of the community, but secondarily, we should hopefully come up with something that would attract other users from outside the Mill Creek community to use it as well to help with the tourism and the financial goals.
Okay. So maybe we say, before I go there, anyone else, Councilmember Bond or anyone want to weigh in here? Don't want to cut off this discussion. So what if we tweak this to say should be primarily designed for use by, and I'm gonna make these adjustments, and we'll take a look at all of these consensus points side by side at the end of this discussion. Primarily designed to be used by a broad range of demographic graphics and a large segment or all of Mill Creek residents, period. It should also draw users from around the region. Is that, I mean, it's wordsmithing, but does that help a little bit? To clarify, the priority is...
I think that helps quite a bit. I like what the mayor said, primarily and then secondarily, those two words. Okay. I think that sums it up beautifully. Okay.
Anybody have concerns about that? I'll make that tweak and we'll come back to that.
Well,
go ahead.
So not to get down too far into the weeds, I think you, by putting primary, I don't understand you. It's almost like we're looking for a way to limit the scope of what we're trying to do here in the inception process. So what it says right there, the project should be designed to be used by a broad range of demographics. a segment, or all Mill Creek residents, and should also draw users from around the regions. It's pretty vanilla. I mean, it opens it up and gives us a lot of opportunity to have probably more discussions than trying to look for something to just simply revolve around 18,000 citizens. It's I don't think it's a smart way to go, and I certainly don't think it's helpful, to be honest.
Okay. Well, we can leave it in, or we can make that tweak. Do you guys want to go through a motion process, or you want to leave it as is for now? What would be your druthers?
I'd make a motion to leave it as it is.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there discussion? I'm just playing Mayor here, unless Mayor Holzclaw would like to run this particular. Is there any discussion on this?
I'll add one discussion. When I've heard about how Town Center was designed, it was designed for the citizens of Mill Creek. Its primary focus was for the citizens and providing them a place to not only shop, but just a place to meet, a community to come together. Mm-hmm. And the way the structure was set up, secondarily, they knew that it would also draw in people from outside, but that wasn't as big a purpose as it was. The primary purpose was building the community of Mill Creek. And that's exactly what it did. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to make sure as city council that our primary focus, I don't disagree with I do disagree with Council Member Cavallari, but I understand why he is saying he wants to keep it in there. But I do think that as council members, we need to focus on the Mill Creek citizens primarily. We need to make sure that we don't get off track on that when we do get down the road and look at things. We want to make sure that we don't get a shiny object that looks really cool for all of Snohomish County. But really what we should be focusing on is what can make our city and our citizens better. And so that's why I do like that. I thought that was a great compromise to keep it the way it is and just have a primarily and secondarily added. I think that made a lot of sense to me.
Is there any other discussion?
I don't think we're getting down in the weeds. I think we're splitting hairs. I think that's the more accurate euphemism. I think that as we revised it, it makes it more clear. I could live with it either way. I really do think we're splitting hairs here.
Okay. Folks would just want to take a vote on the meeting to leave. I think the motion is to leave the language as is. So I guess all in favor.
Aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. We will leave the language as is. And I think there's going to be lots of time for refining. And I think this is exactly the kind of discussion we'll come back to, probably time and again. So let's see here. Some of the questions that occurred to me when I was thinking about this was, does this mean something like, does this tell you that community meeting space is really important to actually achieve the widest use? And I don't know the answer to that. Does it mean you want to be thinking mindfully about special needs populations or folks that maybe not be able to pay the going rate for accessing the facility if we need to charge for it? And if we are making a regional facility, obviously there may be implications for your transportation system, which will impact the cost of the project. So these are just sort of imponderables for later, but if anybody wants to speak to these or anything now, this is a chance time to do that. Otherwise, we'll just go to the next, category. So this was desired community outcomes. And we had 5 council members weigh in here. You can see the comments on the left. And I think the consensus, it should, and we can certainly say something different than significant asset, but I just try to say this is a significant asset for this city is really what that's, and it was something, the words community kept coming up again. And so I thought that was an important word to put in this sort of a framework guiding principle. And my question at that. So I guess the first question again is, does this look like the right way to state a consensus here, or are there folks that really think, no, I've missed the boat on the, on reading what you meant to say? Council Member Morgan?
I think this one kind of connects the last question and the dispute in its wording. If we make sure that there is a item that focuses on the Mill Creek community itself. So since this is a point here, I think that kind of clarifies the last one.
I think that's a good observation. Anyone else want to chime in here? Is this, does this look like the right statement? I'm seeing a couple nods. Anybody think I really missed the boat here, or want to talk about just sort of, you know, it's very possible that what this community wants and what would draw lots of users to the facility, there may be a disconnect between that, which is something that we'll just have to see what the community tells us and figure out how we would work through some of that. So I just wanted, that was one of those, another imponderable question that will land up in front of us again at some point. Okay, I'm hearing, I'm sorry, Councilmember Morgan, do you have an additional question or? Okay, thank you. I'm going to roll forward to the next one. This category E, outcomes for local businesses. And six of you weighed in on this one. And I'm going to be quiet here for a second so you can read that. Okay, and so the next slide, so when I read that, there was a lot of concern about not getting into direct competition with businesses that are here in Mill Creek. So this is sort of what I came up with for the consensus statement here. And again, the question is, did I get it right or would you tweak it? And Councilmember Steckler, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, this is the only one. I actually had a question from when I read it earlier today. Uh-huh. The comments, I saw multiple comments and they're talking about economic development for the businesses of Mill Creek, helping the businesses, generating revenue for the businesses. So I saw more of that than I saw the competition part. Mm-hmm. So I think what's important is we can keep that in if we want, but the competition's not a bad thing. But I definitely feel that what we do with this, if we can find something that will draw in the patrons, this is where economically bringing in the tourism and the outside people outside of our region that would want to shop in Mill Creek or buy something in Mill Creek that would help our local businesses. Mm-hmm. Tourism is a huge focus for us and we're having challenges in meeting it. So something that we can do that will bring people from outside of our region into our city, it should be a great positive, because it will help generate revenue for the businesses of Mill Creek, not to keep them from being competitive. I really want to see that part in there, that we're going to do something to help generate the revenue for the businesses of Mill Creek. We're going to help them.
So that, I think when I looked at this, I think I saw more folks speaking to non-competition than I did to revenue for them. And I think it was mostly, it's like, we're not trying to make their lives worse. And some of you, and that was sort of the comment I was starting from. And I saw more comments in here that talk about avoiding negative impacts on local business. And maybe that's the basic way to frame it. As I don't have a consensus here that says it should generate tourism dollars. We do obviously have, we want a regional draw for the facility use. And we have the economic imperatives that we're going to talk about next.
When I look at the red line and the brown line, I see
those two are aligned with your comment, definitely.
Correct. I see the two blue lines, which speak
and
to
the black.
Speak to the competitive, and the black one says a negative impact.
Yeah.
So there, I think there's pretty balance here of both non-competitive and a positive economic impact. I really feel strongly that, you know, our local businesses, and I look at what our what if you beat our mission, our vision, our values that that the city council has, tourism is a huge part of that, and it's one we've been challenged with, and we need to. I think that needs to be a big part of whatever we can do here that will bring people into our city. Should be a big part of this, and help our businesses and help our city just grow and generate more revenue for it and help it from an economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Karen, can you go to your slide with the proposed language again? What if we just reworded to say the project should support and enhance local, not compete with, existing Mill Creek businesses?
I'm writing this down for a second so I can say it again. So the project should support and enhance, and not compete with, existing businesses in Mill Creek. Is that the proposal?
That's what I was suggesting. I think that kind of gets to John's point of encompassing both of those points that were reflected in the comments.
I think it does. So maybe we'll hear a couple more council members and see if Mayor, you want to make that as a motion, or Councilmember Steckler. I don't know if that works for you or not. I may be misinterpreting. Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bignall.
Thank you, Karen. Hopefully I don't break up. My internet's going in and out. You hear me okay?
Yep.
No. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I think my husband's in the microwave. I apologize. I think what I would be concerned about while we're sitting here doing something, is it going out again? While we're going next to the sports park, I think I wouldn't want us to go in here and say, put in an inflatable bouncy house or something that Arena Sports has, you know, or go in and put in a pool when the Seven Seas has a pool and it's right next to it. I don't think that would be a wise decision. And I don't think we would be good stewards to our businesses that are already here to do that. So I think that's important for me that we word that in a way. I think that's what I'm thinking about when I'm talking about not competing, is that I don't think we want to stick something right next to something that is the same exact thing that a private business has. So I would limit what I would consider a use for the property based on that, because I don't want to be competing with what we're sitting next to.
Yeah. And I think that the mayor suggested language would keep that idea and not compete with existing Mill Creek businesses. Anyone else want to comment on this? And maybe people all can just do thumbs up if you like the mayor's revision and we can go with that. I'm seeing some thumbs up.
You want a motion?
Sure, if you'd like to. Thank you, Mark.
Oh, that was Vince, but I was going to come in, but make your motion. I was going to say, I'll just make the motion to change the language that Mayor Holzclaw changed.
All right.
Seconded.
Thank you, council member. Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that's a change. Perfect. So the next one is item 6, F, the role of private or nonprofit partners. And we had 3 council members weigh in on some specifics, but 4 of you mentioned specific nonprofit partners that you would be interested in checking in with. So take a look at this and go to the next screen at about 7 or 8 seconds. That would be great. I'm going to be typing in something here. Based on your last comments. All right, and next slide. I'm not sure if we got this one right or not, but that's why we're having this conversation. There was pretty strong interest in partners from 4 of you, number of questions around that, but do I have this sort of correct? Does this look right, like something that you could support? I'm seeing a nod. Anybody would tweak this language?
So, Karen, the only thing I would say is maybe for potential partners. I don't want to get locked in that has to be, you know, we have to be looking for a partnership. I'd like, again, as I said in the beginning, I just want all the options on the table. And then when we look at them, do a kind of detailed SWOT on all of them and see how they, you know, what shakes out best for the community and the city.
Okay. What do other folks think here? Do you want to add the word potential in there, or what is partners? Is like, yeah, we need to find somebody. It's got to be done with partners.
No, right? It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't.
I would agree. That is a limitation. I like where Councilmember Caballero is going. If possible, the project should engage other partners in development and operation, something like that.
Okay.
If it makes sense, it may not.
If it makes sense.
Right. Yeah. But we're open to it.
Okay.
The partner might be. Snohomish County, might be the state of Washington. It might be a private company. It might be nobody.
Might be Boeing. Could be, you know.
Yeah, that's that what falls under private company.
And right. That was my point on making the comment. Wasn't any particular, I didn't have anyone in mind. It's just, we need to evaluate that to see if there's opportunities with partnerships that could either provide the uses we want to provide or provide funding sources that we wouldn't have access to. So,
yeah.
The reality is some of our more ambitious projects that we've considered in the past have been so expensive as to be, we've just been prohibited. We haven't even pursued them. Yep. So partnering may be required to find the funding that we actually don't have to do something much more ambitious than what we're maybe can afford right now. So I'm not against it, but it's not a deal breaker. We may be, if we can do it on our own, that's fine.
Okay. So I'm hearing maybe we change it something like, if appropriate, the project should engage partners in development. So do it say just if appropriate, or should just the city should engage with potential partners in discussing the development and operation of the project?
Could we suggest if appropriate and beneficial, the project should engage other partners in development and operation?
Why not just say we should explore partnerships to facilitate the development and or operation?
Yeah, that's fine too.
Should explore partnerships to support the development and operation of the project?
That could potentially support development and operation. And again, the intent isn't to lock us in to say we have to get a partnership to make this happen, but we should explore all opportunities
that might be a partnership. Yeah.
So, it would be, we should explore partnerships to explore that to support, no, sorry. We should explore partnerships that could potentially support development and operation of the project.
Yes.
We got a thumbs up on that one? Great. Anybody know? Okay, the next slide, category G here. This is about the impact on city finances and operations. And six of you weighed in on here, and I'm gonna go do some typing while you read this, and then roll forward to the next slide in a bit there. Thank you, Mike. Okay. So there was a lot of energy around this idea as well. And this is sort of how I wrapped it up. It should be structured in a way to minimize cost to the city. There are a lot of questions around that we will have to work through. Certainly I tried to flag a couple of them here. What's going on with other facilities that serve multiple uses and a very broad range of demographics around the region, and what's their experience? And is your goal net income to the city? Is it increasing the tax base? Or is it at the end of the day, we just want to do something that we can afford that has minimal, no more impact than necessary on the finances? So we may not have an answer, but thoughts on that. Go ahead, Councilmember Cavallari.
Thanks, Karen. I like what you say here, but perhaps we should just add something to it. The project should be structured in a way to minimize cost to the city and maybe add something like, and add potential revenue to the city or something like that. I don't know what it's going to say there, but probably the most viable option to generate revenue for the city, however you want to wordsmith it. But I think that that goes in line with exactly what you're saying here, minimizing costs, but the flip side is it also generates revenue.
Is that a mandate or is that a potential? You phrased it as a potential, just checking.
How does the rest of council feel? I mean, personally, I know what I would like to see there, and I'd like to see it generate revenue. Personally, I'd like to call it a mandate. I don't know if anybody would jump on board with that. It has to cost itself out. That's how I always look at things. So that's where my head's at, but I'm open to hear whatever everybody else has to say.
Councilmember Morgan.
I'd like to echo what Councilmember Cavallari said and almost mandate some type of a revenue generating concept as well. Maybe just adding a sentence to your paragraph here, the project should be structured in a way to minimize cost to the city while generating revenue in the process.
For the city or just sort of for businesses, like sales tax or?
I would say for the city, at least creating a property that doesn't have a constant cost to the city, an ongoing cost.
How about just adding while maximizing financial potential?
Sure.
Mayor Holtzclaw?
I like that last language that was added. I'm adamantly against having a mandate. I mean, we make decisions frequently. I mean, we just invested over $1 million in Exploration Park. And I don't think we want to start charging user fees for the parks. We make investments and things for our community that we don't expect the citizens to pay for in terms of fees. So I'm all for looking for a project that's going to minimize the cost, but I don't think I would support hamstringing ourselves to say it has to be revenue positive.
So would you support that while maximizing financial potential language that I think you said you would support that phrase?
Or something along those lines. I'm not sure.
Or opportunities.
I like that better.
Councilmember Briles and then Councilmember Vaughn.
I think where we're going at this point, I can agree with this, what it sounds like, the direction we're going now. I'm very interested in minimizing the public cost, but the idea that it has to be revenue positive is, I don't want to put that limitation but I don't want to bankrupt the city with this project, So that's basically where I am on this. I think what we've got now is pretty good. I think we're getting real close to what we need, if we're not already there.
Okay. Councilmember Vaughn.
Thank you. I'm struggling here because I agree, like when Councilmember Steckler was talking and he said, look, tourism's good, businesses, if we sell more coffee and stuff like this, that's good for our businesses. It's good for everybody. It's good for the town. Mm-hmm. So I like that. I agree with that. But if we say we're going to pick a project that increases tourism by X, that might be a very different project if that's the only focus. I'm not saying he was saying that, but I'm just trying to make an obvious point. I agree. Tourism is a great thing. If we do something and some of our local businesses thrive and do better, wonderful. That's a great bonus to me. And I would be in favor of any project that offered that as one of the benefits of the project. Cost neutral or even profitable. If we stumbled into something crazy and it was the world's biggest passport office and we were making $1 million a year because it was so profitable and in demand and the whole community wanted more passports, great. But I don't want to say it has to be. We might decide to turn that into the world's biggest park and just, trails systems and call it good. And everybody goes in free and we incur the cost of cleaning it. And it's not going to be cost neutral, but it's not going to be a $10 million ball field either. So I just think we're too early to be putting too many big rules on this. I think we need to kind of figure out what nobody's going to support an economically unviable project. Nobody's going to bankrupt the city. We're not going to support that. Nobody's going to be in favor of something that harms the businesses. We're just not going to do that. We can put that in here somewhere if we need to just assure the public that we're not going to do those things, but we all know we're not going to. So I just want to kind of keep a pretty open mind to what we go down here. I've historically thought that ball fields make sense, but I've checked that. I want to hear what John has to say about a performing arts center. I want to hear what the community thinks about a theater. And you know what? Maybe a theater doesn't draw in as much business revenues because it's not used as much as, say, a ball field where they're doing a three-field softball tournament every weekend. But it still might be a better project all in all and may serve the community needs better. So I'm just kind of – I want to keep a very open field here for us to stumble down and see where we land. But just for the sake of the discussion, obviously, if it's not economically viable, we're not going to pursue it. If it hurts businesses, doesn't enhance the business quality of life, we're not going to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. And I think those comments are captured in some of the prior points as well that we've been talking about. So I think the language that I think we most recently discussed was that we would add the phrase, while maximizing financial opportunities to this. Does that make sense? Is that where we are?
I like it.
I'm seeing some. Anybody opposed to that one? John, is that a comment?
Yeah, what you brought up at the beginning, Karen, was this would be you're asking if that was a mandate or not.
Yeah.
And clearly, I agree with everybody that the mandate is minimize cost to the city. A theater might be a great idea, but if it's going to cost our city tens of millions of dollars or whatever it is, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do anything that is horribly expensive. So, you know, there might be the positives of revenue, of income. I think that's great. But as far as a mandate is, mm-hmm. we can't do anything. I agree with everyone that just said this. We can't do anything that's going to hurt our city. We have to minimize that cost to the city. We're going to do something the city wants. We're going to do that. We're going to do what the citizens want, what the city wants, what's good for the city, blah, blah, blah. But no matter what, if it is great for the city and it hurts us, hurts cost-wise, that's a mandate. The revenue one is not a mandate. That's a great one. That's a positive. If we can do that, that gives that little project idea an extra couple extra brownie points in my book.
So maybe we phrase this as exploring this idea as of the possibility of revenue generation as well.
Yeah,
we were talking
revenue about generation is a positive, yes, but I liked your idea. The mandate is we need to minimize cost to the city. I totally agree with that with everybody, no matter what the idea is.
So if we added language to the extent like we should also explore opportunities to generate revenue, I see one thumbs up. Does that help address some of the earlier comments, or is it like, leave it alone?
Isn't that encompassed within minimizing cost to the city?
Yeah, I would propose to leave it alone.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Is there any more discussion?
When you say leave it alone, what do you mean leave it alone? As is?
As yeah. is. I wouldn't change it.
Or with the changes?
Without any changes.
As it's on the screen.
Yeah.
I think minimize costs encompasses all that we've said. Is minimizing costs may take different forms. It may take getting a partner who funds the development.
Right.
But it doesn't generate any revenue, or it could be one where we're putting some money out, but it's generating revenue to come back in to pay itself off. But either way, you're minimizing the cost of the city.
That's our mandate.
So we sort of have a motion and a second to leave the language as is, or we want to take a vote on that one. Or Mark, did you want to make another comment?
No.
Oh, your hand is up. Thanks sir. All in favor of leaving it as is?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, it stays. So then the last category, we had three of you weighing in on the ideas around neighboring usages, which is how environmentally related thoughts and values, which I thought, so those are what we got here. So I didn't know, since we only had three of you, I didn't draw a consensus from that. And maybe there isn't a consensus around this one. So I just, I'll just open up the floor then for your thoughts about this. Is this something that we should make a consensus item, or is this like, we'll keep working on this one? And
I don't see anything wrong with that. I didn't put much on this, if anything, but I like what's there.
Yeah.
I would say we keep working on it. To me, the first, second, and fourth bullet points are all just taken care of by our comp plan and our code. That's nothing we need to call out. It's already imposed. We're already going to do that with our code. If we've considered anything going forward, I think it's on the third bullet point that whatever we decide to build, you know, we can make decisions of, do we want it built to a specific
energy efficient standard or something
like that. Yeah. But I'm not sure we're at that point of identifying a goal until we identify what the use is, because if we end up doing ball fields on 15 acres, what that looks like is going to mean something totally different than if we're building some kind of structure.
Very true.
That's why I stayed silent on it. The code gets us there.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, anybody want to make a different pitch? Okay. Let's go to the last, and I wasn't really sure where else to put this. This is the only comment that I wasn't really confident I knew where to put it in a category, but I wanted to make sure folks saw it. And if you want to speak to it, we can. It was that I just wasn't quite sure where to put it, but I wanted to make sure everybody saw it, because you've seen everything that y'all submitted around that question of guiding principles. Okay, unless people want to talk about this one, I think I'm going to now take the screen over and share with you this slide, which is slideshow. Come on, slideshow. I am not seeing slideshow icon. Where is this? There it is. So this is sort of where I believe we ended up with your edits today. We had, we agreed that we had some good thoughts on process, but we weren't really going with consensus there. We were okay with this item here. The project should accommodate multiple types of uses. We talked about, we adjusted item C about users to talk about it be primarily designed for use by a broad range, and that ranges should not have an S in it, of demographics, and secondarily, with a space between it and should, draw users from around the region. We did not change item D. Item F, we did change. The project should support and enhance and not compete with existing businesses in Mill Creek. I'll stick in the should there, but I can't edit it while I'm in this mode. And we also really adjusted item F, so it now reads as the city should explore partnerships that could potentially support development and operation of the project. We did not touch item G, and we agreed that there probably wasn't a consensus point around impact on the environment and neighbors. So typos aside, does that look like about what we talked about?
Yes.
Oh, good. So finally, the next step. So again, start of the process. Good that we have some common ground to stand on after tonight's discussion. Lots of way to go. Next steps that we're recommending are that we do provide an opportunity for the community to engage. We're going to try to develop, our proposal here is to develop an online poll and use social and other media to hopefully get input from folks. That's not going to be statistically significant, but I think that we're going to be doing increasingly robust approaches to community input as we move forward. So this is a starter step. and that next up we would be maybe coming back and talking about some other types of facilities that maybe meet your criteria, and have a brainstorming session about what you think meets the criteria. So that's our proposal for moving forward. Does this work for you, and especially the third and the last two bullets, the fourth and fifth bullets? Is it okay if we go in this direction as shown here tonight? Hearing none. Yes. I'm hoping.
Yes.
People do not like this thing. And I can't see you now, of course, because I'm a presenter. Oh. So I'm, I'm really looking for some verbal cues.
We gave you a lot of thumbs up. Sorry.
Oh. Much love.
I'm really happy to see those ghost thumbs. Thank you so much. Okay, so that's where we will move to. And here, I just love this picture. I call this the imaginary. This is our creative thinking dust that's going through the woods right now on that property about what are we going to do there. So there is more to come. And thank you very much for your attention and your ideas tonight. I'm going to stop sharing. It was a really interesting conversation. And I'm really happy we ended up in a place that we can stand on together and then work out from to try to refine our thinking as we go. That's all I had for you all tonight.
Nice job, Karen.
Thank you, Karen. I think that was a great start, great conversation. And whoever gets vaccinated first and goes to Disneyland, you can get us some big white Mickey hands so we can raise our hands.
Yeah, well, they'll just have to fix that Zoom technology. Thank you very much, folks, for your time. It's good to see everybody.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you again.
With that,
we'll move on to the consent agenda. Item E, approval of checks number 63016 through number 63058 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $316,633.51. Audit committee was my Councilmember Cavalieri and myself. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions here. Item F, payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $192,103.12. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions. And item G, city council meeting minutes of February 2nd, 2021. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So move.
Second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Did anyone abstain? The consent agenda is approved. Moving on to reports, just briefly, last Wednesday we had the telephone call with AWC and the Snohomish County mayors to talk about the police reform bills that are pending. I provided a summary of those to the chief and to the city manager last week. Without going into great level of detail, there's like 15 bills that are pending right now. Three that AWC is strongly opposing, 12 they're supporting, although there's an asterisk by it. Supporting doesn't mean they support the whole bill. They may think it's a bad bill, but it has provisions that if it gets adopted, they like that have been included. I think the main one that was of concern to me is it's a police tactics bill. I don't remember the number, but it would basically prohibit canines from being used in the state. I don't have a status update on where that bill is in the committees. I think Monday of next week is the deadline for bills to get passed out of their policy committee of origin. So we'll start to see what happens after Mondays. But the chief and city manager on top of those and the city attorney, you know, one thing that's come out of this, and I'll be interested to hear Mark's input from being on the council for so long and maybe Director Todd, is, you know, in the past year since I've been on the council, we've kind of relied on AWC to lobby down in Olympia. And I think we, over the next year or two, we need to evaluate whether or not we need to think about putting in the budget some money to have some lobbyist presence to help us out. You know, there's a lot of these bills that come up that we've been looking at that have some impact on us that I'm not sure we always want to rely upon what AWC may or may not do. So not to decide here, but it seems like this session, more than in the past number of years, there's bills out there that could affect us that we may want to have our own voice being heard, not just through an entity like AWC. So more just a comment for consideration down the road. That's the report I had. I'm going to ask Councilmember Morgan if he has any report first.
Thank you. No reports.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem, any report tonight?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a brief report. I met with the Youth Advisory Board last week and found out a little bit about what they are involved in right now, and met afterwards with their city government group and kind of just had a session where they just threw questions at me and I answered all of them. It was really fun and they had some really good questions. I'm looking forward to doing some work with them just to see what they're up to in our community. And also just to let everyone know, I have signed up to participate in AWC City Action Days this year. They're all virtual this year, so I'm able to participate. So I'll be doing that the next couple days. Looks like there's some interesting sessions ahead, and I will report back at our next meeting if there's anything interesting to let everyone know about.
Thank you. Councilmember Bond, any report tonight?
No report, ma'am.
Councilmember Steckler.
I just have three quick things. First of all, I was doing my weekly walk through Mill Creek, I saw our sanitation stations, which really looked wonderful. Unfortunately, I stopped by four of them, and all four were empty. So I think what we need to do, I know that when we put these up for the businesses, we gave them each a refill packet. I think we need to send a note out to them, to every business who got one, that they need to, that they're responsible for putting the extra refill packet into their hand sanitizer. And if not, we need to get them refills or at least where to order refills. They look great. They look wonderful. And the reason they're empty is people are using them, which is wonderful, but we need to help our businesses to realize they need to refill them. I also walked by the bridge over by Frost Donuts. In last week's meeting, I mentioned how dark and creepy and how frightened I was that somebody was going to attack me and my little Yorkie dog, and all the, because the lighting was so dark. And since then, all this new lighting has gone up and I felt extremely safe. And so Director Todd, I don't know who on your team, one little comment and that drastically turned things around. Kudos to you. Thank you very much. It really is like a whole different world out there. It was very nice. And I just wanted to ask if we had any update on the Ralph Johnson. Did we get a chance to reach out to the captain? And do we have any update on that?
I'll let the city manager respond when he gets his reports, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
Let me see. Where am I at? Councilmember Briles. Oh, wait. Did I get you, Vince? Oh, Councilmember Cavallari. I'm sorry.
You can do Benjamin first. That's fine.
Councilmember Briles, any report tonight?
All right, just real quick. I'm also going to be attending the AWC City Action Days this week in virtual. So that'll be tomorrow and Thursday. Nothing else.
And we'll close it out with Councilmember Cavallari. Any report tonight?
Thanks, Mayor. Real brief. Snow 911 is getting ready to have its February meeting. And just some insight, we will be getting our new radios first. We are one of the first cities on the docket to receive them. So it's pretty exciting stuff for the cops on the beat. Second, state and county will be receiving additional CARES Act funds. So I would like to ask, where's ours and what's our cut going to be? And third, to your point earlier, Brian, about Exploration Park, it's also the number one destination park in the city. As polled by the users. Money well spent.
Indeed. With that, we'll turn it over to Michael for staff reports.
Thank you, Mayor and members of council. Just very quickly, we are working on a community project information form to be submitted to the House and Senate. We're hoping to reach out to local legislative representative. I'm working with Mayor Pro Tem Vignal for that networking. The point being is that we're attempting to squeeze a project that's only in its concept phase in a manner that will qualify for funding. We've looked through the criteria that would be required. The state legislature in asking for local community project information has really shown a preference for something that's developed further along than the concept phase. But nonetheless, after talking extensively with Director Todd today and our finance director, Laurel Gimzo. We're looking at the most likely candidate being Silvercrest Park. We're told that anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 in funds could be available. These are funds that we have to spend first and then we're reimbursed for them. That's always important. So that for on the reimbursement basis, we have to ensure that we follow all the guidelines closely, otherwise it could risk losing that money. Other projects historically in the past have been successful. For facilities providing important public benefits, project costs, which are under 25% of the total funding. And this is a couple of the important ones, that the results are completed in the project phase and are usable by the public after the state funds are expended. Finally, the most important one, and this is why we think it's gonna be a photo finish with Silvercrest Park, is that the project is ready for construction or renovation and will be completed within the biennium. So as quickly as we're attempting to move on Silvercrest, we are cautiously optimistic that if we apply under this program, we would qualify. We are nonetheless though working in as quickly as we can on that. The important point here is that the filing deadline is February 19th. Which means that if we would ordinarily bring this through the new initiatives portal to apply for it. But what I would ask for the council to consider this evening is a motion to support the administration in applying for the local community project information form, which has a deadline of February 19 before our next council meeting.
I'd make that motion. Second.
Any further discussion? Councilmember Steckler, you're giggling. Do you have a comment?
Oh, I have no comment. I was just, boy, that was like, whoa.
Hearing no further discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Anyone abstain? Motion carries unanimously.
Hey. With regard, real quickly, to the question regarding Ralph Johnson, Councilman Steckler, we have received an email address. I'm also working with a member of our administrative team who's a veteran of the Navy, our IT manager, Joe Sokolowski. If you have any other numbers, Kristen hasn't been able to dig up a number for us, but if you and I could talk offline, if you've got anything other than the traditional portal, I'd like to talk to you about that.
I'll get it.
Yeah. Finally, Councilman Cavalieri, appreciate the update regarding the snow 911 radios. We have temporarily slowed down on a project that's well over a decade overdue of providing the police radio, emergency radio communication operability within the entire police department in City Hall. We have an aggressive standby plan. We are giving this a top priority to our police officers that they should be able to walk through the entire building, including and especially the police department, all areas, and have their two-way radios working. We have temporarily placed this on hold to see if the new police radios that we're receiving are going to improve the communication. If they do not, it's going to be a top priority for us, as is a survey in our community, particularly of Jackson High School and the middle school and other high density tenements, where it's been historically reported that police officers have had spotty coverage at best. So this is a top priority. So we appreciate the update. What I'd like to do is just turn the agenda over quickly to our city attorney, Grant Degenger, to just give us a current status on the in-person public meetings under the governor's proclamation. Grant?
Thank you, Mr. Curvino. This is a brief update from a question that was posed by council last week. And at the meeting, what you asked about what the current status was regarding in-person public meetings under the current gubernatorial proclamations. And the answer to that question is that under the current proclamations, all public meetings have to be held remotely. And so, there's a that continues to be the requirement. Because Snohomish County has moved into phase two, there is an option for holding, for in addition to holding your meetings remotely, you could have in-person meetings. You would be limited to 25% capacity or 200 people, whichever is less. And you would be subject to the requirements for business meetings in the miscellaneous venue category. I've provided a copy of those requirements, and they include such things as requiring masking of the people who would come. Also, it would require appropriate social distancing. It would also require pre-registration and additional maintenance and cleaning. All those things are possible. The question is whether it is practical in light of the fact that you have a requirement to be meeting remotely anyway for the benefit of the citizens who are not comfortable coming to the public, to City Hall at this time. So with that, that's my update. If there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Okay, if there are none, Mayor, with your permission, I'm gonna proceed to the next update from Director Mike Todd regarding the meeting a number of staff had with Councilman Benjamin Bryles regarding the Adopt the Street Park Trail or Service Day in Mill Creek.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Director Todd?
Yeah, thanks. So real quick, we did have a good meeting with Kristen Rasmussen, Matthew Combs, and Benjamin Bryles, and myself, and city manager, and kind of kicked some ideas around. It was interesting to hear one of the members there, I'll just say, well, name who, but related to the instance I think we've all seen, is you say, hey, look, there's a McDonald's bag in the street. I'll pick that up when I come back in 5 minutes, and it's gone. The good thing is that our city is actually pretty clean of trash in general, except for things like Highway 527, where we can't do that sort of thing. But as much as people would love to do that, it's probably one of the most dangerous places to put a group out there. We talked about those kinds of things. We talked about other kinds of projects. Really where we came down with the whole topic was this. We'll meet again, talks more about it, talk about some more brainstorm ideas, but really we're thinking about going out to groups that express an interest like Kiwanis or the Chamber of Commerce or Rotary and ask them, is there a project that you think you would like to do, that you could manage, that is within, it's safe and reasonable for you to perform? We would provide trash bags or trash pickers or pickup of the bags after they're full or gloves or those kinds of things would facilitate those projects. But kind of put the onus back on those groups to propose things that they would love to do that gives them ownership and a sense of belonging, and use that as kind of a low-hanging fruit, try this out kind of project. Probably head this towards a certain day, and if people want to jump on bandwagon and do other projects, that would be great. We're thinking about headed towards Earth Day, which is April 22nd. Councilmember Bryles, I can't remember, something like that. 24th, 22nd. Something like that. That's a Thursday. Maybe we head to the weekend afterwards, or maybe we do it during the week. You have to be determined, but that's the idea. We'll give us a couple of months to have these service groups pull some ideas, pick around some things that could be done safely that would give people a sense of pride in the community. And not call this the first annual, not call this the first ever, just call this a service day, an opportunity for people to get out and kind of spruce up our community. That was the thought so far. I'm going to turn over to Councilmember Bryles to remind me of anything I might have forgotten out of our conclusions. Councilmember.
One thing I want to add there is that, yeah, we were looking for ideas as to something to do that first day, but then with an eye towards something that could continue into the future, that could become something like an Adopt a Street, Adopt a Trail Park. That was kind of one of the things that I think was a key to me, was how we would kind of keep this going.
I guess if there's questions or there's ideas of either groups or projects you can think of around town that are safe, we're kind of in that brainstorming mode of looking for ideas. The trick is, I think in many cases, it's the Cub Scouts or the Girl Scouts who would like to do this. And those projects, honestly, are harder to come by. Picking up trash where the homeless have been is just not appropriate for kids. Picking up trash on a 527 doesn't work. Building things is probably not a good idea. We will not let people use power equipment. So be careful about what you think about, but there are probably ideas that could enhance the community. We'd love to encourage that generation of ideas and see what we come up with.
Thank you.
There's nothing further then. We'll move on, Mayor, with your permission, to the final report from Joe Sokolowski, our IT manager. This ties in with what our city attorney provided with regard to the current proclamation and the potential of up to 25% capacity. What we're looking at is really a range of possibility. And the question is, how much do we want to invest now in a solution to a problem that with any luck and hope and vaccines and other news going forward, we may have equipment that's obsolete that we've spent a lot of money on. So what I directed Joe to develop was a plan that would show what we could do that's cheap and inexpensive for the short term, where we're looking at a small to intermediate capacity of participation, perhaps by some members of council, not all, a certain minimum or maximum number of other participants in the room, but to do that with a minimum investment. The other important factor to note is that last, about a year and a half ago, we made a substantial investment in an upgrade to our audio equipment because of the complaints we were receiving from the community regarding the sound quality of the council members when they were speaking. We've spent a lot of money on that. And if we spend too much on a retrofit, envisioning a permanent remote participation or hybrid remote, all that equipment is pretty much going to be obsolete in order for us to do it right. So all we're intending tonight is to update you on the things that we're costing out, the variables and the factors that we're looking at. And if there are members of council that want to come to the chambers to participate, what we're looking at is something on the fly that would enable them to use their Zoom formatted laptops with headsets and other special equipment to reduce the reverberation in the council chambers while we looked at these other possibilities. So without further introduction, what I'm we've asked Joe to do this evening, and we want to do it in less than 5 minutes, is just give you a quick breakout of what we're doing, where we've been, and what it is we're looking at in terms of ranges. We do not have answers or solutions tonight, but we do want to at least stage what we're considering to make sure we're on the same page with City Council. So Joe, if you take it away, please.
Thank you, City Manager. Hello, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, council members, staff, and public. My name's Joe Sokolowski, and I'm the city's Information Systems and Technology Manager. This is just a summary of the work that we tried to do before the COVID care funds expired. And I was learning all of the rules as I was going along. And if there's questions about that, Laurel is pretty informed about the details of using the CARES fund. We did do 4 attempts to make a retrofit and use those COVID funds. We were interested in using all the COVID funds. I was working with Jeff Ballantyne on these details. Let me share my screen, and does everyone remember the council chamber room? Here we can see, I thought this would be beneficial for some of the new council members who haven't really spent time in the chamber. And so right there is the maximum seating capacity, 64. So if I understand our city attorney correctly, I guess that would be 15 people.
That's 74.
Yeah.
So 70. Right, but well, 20% of 74 is
15. 25.
25. So as you can see, getting people within 6 feet it would be difficult, but let me just go through the details. And this is the retrofitted, if you haven't seen it yet, this is the glass around the cubicles. And here is the sound rack with the equipment. So this work started in November. The first request came in, it was to mount a TV in the center of the chamber room. And what we discovered was this used to be an old warehouse and the ceiling is very high. So this person wanted to create a structure. And we were like, okay, what else can we do? This is another shot of the sound system, the equipment that was purchased previously. So the second vendor that came in was the original installer of the sound system in the chamber room. I was very impressed. They have experience. They were telling me they have experience retrofitting the judicial chambers. And can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Work great on the Zoom meetings, and it's an integrated hybrid. Every cubicle would get a camera system and a microphone, and then there would be a switching, an audio switching system where it would detect the hot mic and the camera would automatically be turned on for that person speaking. So in my mind, I'm thinking it would be more of a TV type production. Of course, there's a big sticker price with that, but we were hoping to use all the COVID funds. So then we got in another vendor to try to duplicate that same setup to see, you know, to get better pricing. And at the time we're running out, you know, time's running out there, you know, we're trying to get a huge part list delivered by the end.
Oh, we can't hear you.
He was, we tried to do split quote. We tried to get material and then do the labor later. And then in December, it was just it was very difficult. Remember, at this time, other people were on the vendor schedules, retrofitting everything, trying to use that CARE fund. Everyone made a mad storm to use the CARES Act. So the last one was the easiest, simplest solution that we were trying to do, and we couldn't even do this, was 7 noise-canceling headsets for the council members that would integrate into the system that we currently have. So my to-do after this is to test our current mics with the Zoom that we have right now, because in the conference room, we do not have any cameras. So this is a perfect COVID-19 kind of project. Is there any questions? And the walls, they said the walls, it's difficult to mount things in the walls because of the way the walls are. And studs, we're not really sure if there's any stud. This is not a dry board wall over here, is what some of the details that I learned. And we can utilize there's a projector up in the ceiling, and we were going to broadcast the Zoom meeting on that projector. So that's how everyone in the room could see what's going on.
So thank you for that, Joe. So what we have is just a construction project, and we're looking at a bunch of different options. Our intention is that when we come back to you, we're going to add more definition to the proposals. We're working with all due dispatch to be able to accommodate whatever it is that the council would like. And in the interim period, we're looking at something that would enable us to use the equipment we currently have in the Zoom format with some strategies for reducing the sound reverb in there for those that wish to participate in the council chambers. We would just ask you to stay tuned. In our next council meeting, we're going to have more substance to add to this, but we want you to know that we're making this a priority and that we're going to be coming back with more details by the next council meeting. And with that, Mayor, members of council, we conclude our reports for this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Before we recess to executive session, opportunity for audience communication. Would anyone care to speak to the council tonight? I saw Barb's hand go up first and then Jaden Bonds. And then, let's start with Barb Heidel. 3 minutes, name and address, please.
Barb Heidel, 1401 144th Place, Southeast Mill Creek. First off, great job that Karen Reed did tonight on organizing all that information. Fantastic discussion with differing opinions, but it was an awesome discussion that the council had. Very good. I'm looking forward to the giving input on the online poll, hopefully a bunch of them as you progress. Thank you.
I saw Jaden Bond's hand up second. Name and address, 3 minutes, please.
Jaden Bond, is actually an accident to put my hand up. I didn't mean to click that. I did want to say you're welcome for fixing the lights on Main Street Bridge, Mr. Councilmember Steckler. I'm glad that the light helped.
Okay, there was someone else who put their hand up, but they moved. There she is. I'm sorry, the Hollywood Square shifted around on me. Shoshana Mulman, name and address in 3 minutes, please.
Hi, yeah, my name is Shoshana Mulman, 3021 139th Place Southeast. I just want to echo what Barbara said about the good discussion involving the properties. I have a question. At the beginning of the discussion, there was mention of tours of the area. Is there any way that just regular citizens can get a tour of the area, or how would I go about doing that?
Michael, can you follow up?
Yes, I would. Shoshana, if you can follow up with our clerk, Naomi Fay, if you even want to send your email address.
Okay.
We can do that. I'm primarily interested at this moment in ensuring that our policymakers, particularly those that maybe haven't toured that site, have a look. When our facilitator, Karen Reed, talks about public participation in this process, we do look forward to the opportunity for the community to observe the property while also ensuring their safety. So in all likelihood, it'll be a guided tour. If it's a rainy season, you'll be advised to bring your boots. We might actually consider an opportunity to do some videotaping, possibly as we move along here, some topographical studies so that we can highlight some of the features, some of the benefits, and some of the challenges and unique characteristics of that property, so that there's maybe even an opportunity for virtualized tours of that facility. But we'll absolutely make accommodations for you or any other members that request that tour. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else? Okay, hearing none, it's 8:08. We're going to recess to executive session to discuss an item of potential litigation pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection I. No action will be taken at the end. I understand we'll need about 15 minutes, so I don't think we'll need a motion to extend the meeting past 8:30. So let's adjourn till 8:25 to give ourselves a couple minutes for a bathroom break if people need it.
Very good. Thank you.
And we're back.
Hey, Naomi.
Hey.
Yeah.
Through the magic of technology, we are back. The council adjourned its executive session at 8:24, and at 8:25, we'll adjourn the regular meeting. Good night, everyone, and see you in 2 weeks.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.